Illinois property taxes punish the most vulnerable the most, like widow Mary Pay.
They just keep on going up and up, so that means my mortgage payment goes up, and it's kind of hard. What are they doing for us? Nothing.
66-year-old Chicago resident Linda Jay had to take a second job just to pay her property taxes.
Mine is $7,000 a year. If I wasn't still working, I'd be screwed. Even at retirement age, I'm getting my Social Security, but I still have to work, and I'm working two jobs.
Rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, you will not be spared the financial disaster the highest property taxes in the nation inflict. The good news is there's a group of independent candidates who aren't financed by Madigan or Rauner. They're working people, taking up our fight to lower your property taxes. They made a life in Illinois, and the hell if they're going to let politicians take it away. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org for information on the candidates leading the revolt. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org to hear your neighbor's stories and share your own. SaveYourHomeNow.org isn't just a website. It's a battle cry.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its content, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
/drive now.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Volvo Orland Park.
Joe's doing all the talking.
Joe Madden.
It's a great time to just, like, talk about stuff.
World Series winning manager.
I don't understand the negative mindset whatsoever. I don't understand pessimism. I don't know enough to be pessimistic, quite frankly.
Connoisseur of fine art.
The David's all about pitching. The Salvador Dali's all about catching. The Mona Lisa, she's about putting the art back into the game and about defense because Renaissance chicks dig the leather.
Joe Madden with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Joe Madden joins us weekly to talk about the Chicago Cubs, who remain in first place in the NL Central, but the lead is shrinking. It is down to a game and a half after the Cubs were stymied by a pitcher who had a really, really good night, and the Brewers rallied back for their victory. Joe, hello.
Good afternoon.
So,
hi, guys.
Hi. How are we on the pressure-pleasure ratio?
Wonderful. Just had a great cup of coffee at my coffee shop. I did the lineup. Reading some of the papers right now, and might get into my book a little bit.
What's the lineup look like?
Just like yesterday.
It's kind of steady end to the season, a kind of approach that that lets everybody know we're good, we're ready to roll?
Well, part of it is their pitchers, too. I mean, they have four right-handers going. You know, this is, I think, our best lineup right now against a right-hander. I just have to watch Zoe to make sure that he's well. I put Riz 3 and Javi 4 today with Schwarber 5. I think their lefties available today, Brault. So I just changed that up a bit. Otherwise, same names.
I saw that Bryant's issues were listed officially as shoulder fatigue, which I kind of read as still dealing with an injury. That the guy, and you know, we talked about it, that when a guy comes back from this, it's never going to be 100%. You got to figure out how to manage it. Hey, how limited is he as far as the power differential from what he was before this happened?
It's just so hard to say. If you watch him in BP, you see it. I guess I didn't see his BP yesterday, but Brandon Hyde said it was like as good as he's seen him in a while. I don't know. It's just coming back off of an injury, having been out for a bit, just getting back up to speed, which he should be. If you think about it in terms of the spring training, length of the spring training, he's definitely about there right now. So this would be the time for it to start clicking again. He's well. I mean, it's just a fatigue. I've talked about that before. I got to keep track of that and not run him into the ground. But overall, he's fine. You know, best description is he's fouled off his pitch several times recently. The pitch that he normally does click and go far, it's been fouled off back to the backstop. So we just got to make sure that he's got to make sure that he's able to square those things up. But otherwise, he's fine.
With Pedro Strop, how often are the checks on his health? How much do you feel confident about finding something out before a postseason might begin?
Well, he's throwing. He's throwing like he normally would throw, just not up the mound yet. But his arm's been, it's ramped up to full gorilla throwing. I mean, he's not backing off. It's just that, and his leg's doing a lot better. So I'm not 100% sure, but I know it's pretty optimistic in talking to him. He'll be getting to the mound soon, hopefully, and again, there's been no setbacks. He's feeling pretty good, actually.
Mike Montgomery has been the subject of discussion throughout the year, ever since he was thrust into the full-time starter's role, and talking about adding tilt to his breaking pitches, talking about missing more bats. And then you said, no, he can pitch to contact, put the ball in play, and use a little bit of this defense. Where are we here with what his goals are about making those pitches matter, lowering the pitch count, getting deeper into a game?
Well, he's a ground ball pitcher. He's definitely got the ability to put the ball on the ground and let our defense play. I do believe he has swing and miss stuff. When his velocity, when he's getting ahead with his fastball, the strikeout becomes more possible. When he's not, when he's not really commanding his fastball, then it's more difficult for him to strike out people. He's got a great changeup. Nobody talks about his changeup enough. He's got an outstanding changeup. He's got a really good curveball, and he puts the ball on the ground. So those are three great attributes to have. For me, with him, it's always about fastball command. And when he's got that going on, and you see like 92, not just 91, 92, and sometimes a 93, that's when it becomes more difficult. So tonight, if you see command of the fastball, I think the changeup, normally the change in curve will follow, and he should have himself a pretty good night.
What are your expectations, if any, about hearing from the league about Addison Russell and where his situation sits?
Oh, I'm not involved in that at all. That is a league situation. It is there's a process in place to deal with this between the Players Union and MLB, and of course Addison's involvement too. So I'm totally not in that picture right now.
You said on Friday, when asked about the situation, that you hadn't read Russell's ex-wife's blog post and description of what she said happened to her. And then you said several times that you didn't want to make any kind of decision or form any kind of judgment without getting all the available information. So have you read it since then? No?
No, I really don't believe I need to. Addison hasn't written anything either. So, I'm going to wait till the process runs its course. I'll get all the information needed at that point. There's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can do to help this situation at all. Like I said, there's a process in place. I haven't spoken to Addison yet since this has all occurred. And we'll just let it play the course out, and we'll wait for decisions to be made based on folks that are actually investigating this. So I really have no involvement, and I really do want to stay clear of it because there's nothing I can do to help it.
I'm just wondering why, if the single most important source of information at this point is, I guess, her story in her words, and it's your player. Is it because you don't view it having any effect on baseball, or do you actively not want to hear the descriptions of it? I'm just wondering why you seem set on not reading what she wrote.
Again, I have nothing to do with this. This is her and Addison. There is a process in place to deal with this. There's nothing, just by reading it, there's going to be no, I'm not going to be swayed one way or another by reading this. I really have no interest in reading this. I'm interested in waiting for the investigation to finalize itself, and then I'll read what's going on or what had been said once it's been vetted properly. So anybody can write anything they want these days with social media, blogging, et cetera. So I'm just going to wait for it to play its course, and then I'll try to disseminate the information based on both sides, MLB itself, along with the Players Union, getting together with Addison and his former wife. And then I'll read the information to try to make my opinions or form my own opinions at that point.
So, Joe, I think perhaps there's a sense from, whether it be some Cub fans or just observers of the situation, that the idea, and Anthony Rizzo kind of broached this a little bit before Theo and Tom talked, Todd rather, that because anyone can write what they want, that there's a worry, it seems, whether it be from Rizzo or from you, that because anyone can write what they want, it may or may not be true. I think it's possible that there's some skepticism there, or at least it feels like there's skepticism there, and it's not been met well, because there are so many victims of domestic abuse who have put their stories out this way and have had their stories come true. I guess I wonder if that's been brought up to you.
I have not. Listen, I've explained myself, I think, pretty perfectly, actually. There's a process in place. I have nothing to do with this. I'm going to wait till it's vetted between MLB and the Players Union, and then I'll read it. I really don't understand why I have to become more involved in that or anybody else does. I felt that way from the beginning. Reading this or her account of it has nothing to do with anything according to the results. So let's just wait till it properly runs its course and then make our decisions.
What's the
conclusions?
What's the effect on your decision making on your roster, either day to day or looking forward, of not having Addison Russell on the team?
I haven't thought about it yet. Listen, why are you guys focused on this so much? We're playing again tonight. It's Archer versus Montgomery. You already brought up Mikey. Mm-hmm. This stuff is out of our control right now. It's not in our hands. I mean, there's a vehicle in place to work with this. Let it run its course, and then we will decide what happens after that. I have no idea how this is going to play out with Addison yet, and I'm focused on tonight's game. And there's nothing to conjecture right here. Just wait till it plays itself out, and then we'll make our decisions.
Well, and my question actually was from a baseball perspective of not having him on the roster, and thinking that the way you would set up your defense, and talking about, say, you know, a ground ball pitcher in Montgomery, right, and knowing that, okay, if Baez is going to be at short now, maybe it means Daniel Murphy might spend some time. You don't have the same automatic defensive moves that you have to shore up the infield, because the infield might not be as good defensively. You're missing a huge piece of it. Does that change the way you manage at all, knowing that?
Well, I mean, if Addison were with us and not starting the game, of course, in the game at the latter part of the game, love to have him at short and put Baez at second. No question. So without him being available to us right now, you get to see Javi there all the time. At second base, we could either bring Zobrist in or take and put Bodie out there. Bodie at third, Zobrist at second, Brian in the outfield. Depends on the pitching and how we've manipulated the game to that point. So we have options. We could even throw Happ at third base if necessary, if there's a lot of manipulations that occur during the course of the game. So, of course, missing Addison's abilities at shortstop, we do miss that. And it does, the latter part of the game, it really does hurt our defense. But, excuse me. For right now, you're dealing with what you have. It is not all this conjecture stuff. Addison's not here. So for right now, you got Baez at short, Murph. We get Murph out with the lead. If you don't have a lead, you leave Murph in the game, and you got Zobrist or Bodie to play second.
What signs do you watch for when you arrive at the ballpark and you're just sort of taking the temperature of your team? What do you look for to make sure that maybe some of the younger guys, maybe guys aren't feeling a little tight, or scoreboard watching, standings watching a little bit?
Oh, it's about how I walk in the door. I mean, it's just a matter that I don't walk in the door any differently. I've always talked about this. You as the manager have to remain consistent, and the players will always recognize or feed off of what's going on with you. So for me, it's about remaining consistent as I walk in the door. And our guys have been great. There's been no real difference, win or lose. We come out with pretty much the same group the next day. That's something I really try to promote, that we play the same game regardless of the date. And last night we ran into, Taillon's been really good. My goodness. We had a chance to get him early, and that just went away. And then eventually he settled in, and then their last two relief pitchers were outstanding. So the way to win these games is to score first and grab the lead and run in that direction. We were unable to do that last night.
Thought it was interesting some of the comments you made about the wild card clinch party planning committee that you are not a part of. I think that's got to be part of your setting the tone, right? Knowing that there are expectations here, and you don't have to necessarily throw the same party that another team might for doing something you've been doing before.
No, listen, we celebrate after every win. It's kind of entertaining after every game that we win, and of course it's different when you qualify for the playoffs. But I really don't get involved in any of that kind of stuff. I'm pretty good at staying out of the locker room, the players' domain, and however they want to react to it, I'm fine with that. I really try to impress that upon them, that it's their room to control and to police among themselves. And so when it comes to a celebration, why would I interfere at that particular time? Let's just win the games. Let's just win tonight, then win tomorrow night, et cetera. And like I've said, all this other stuff takes care of itself. I'm not into looking too far into the future. Just I'm focused on tonight's game, period, and having the players out there that we do. and then let our guys react accordingly.
David Bodie has been a great story this year, one that'll be remembered for the moments that he's made for himself and what he's been to be some needed glue, especially through the Bryant injury this year. He's tailed off. His weighted runs created plus in August was down to 66. It dropped further in September to 58. The September slash line is 200, 280, 289. Is this just a player that's running into some teams that are figuring him out, paying some more attention to him, or is this wearing down at all? It can't be due to overusage. I'm just wondering what you see going on with him.
No, he's not wearing down. He's actually he's in a good place physically right now and mentally. I just think that it's, you know, the league adjusting to him, and David's going to have to adjust back. You know, he came out, he's done some wonderful things for us, and he's still going to. Contact when he makes it right now, it's really firm, and he hits the ball hard. His defense has been great. So, yeah, I think more than anything, it's a young player having the league just adjust back to him. And there was a while there I was really trying to pick and choose who he was playing against. And then, of course, when KB got hurt, there was different issues and maybe not the same kind of matchups that he should normally be good against. So he'll learn. He'll learn. The big thing is just staying in his zone. I think more than anything, he's been chasing pitches out of the zone. That's the biggest difference as I can see it. But bat speed is good. Legs are good. Arms, everything's good. He's just got to get back in his own zone.
Saw the mammoth shot from Kyle Schwarber against left-hander Carlos Rodon the other day, just a huge home run. His splits against left-handers are, you know, a little bit tailed off, but it's still a 360 on base. He's gotten, I guess, back to action and healthy this month. The numbers are good. What's been the biggest key for his production?
For me, it's a technical thing with me, and that is that he's not drifting or sliding into the ball. He's staying back. He's staying behind the baseball. Mm-hmm. He had too much movement, I thought, for a while, even reaching back into last year. I think his hands are more involved and less body, for, you know, lack of a better way of describing it. That's exactly what I'm seeing. It really started, I thought, that game in Milwaukee when he hit that home run, and then we took him out because his back was bothering him. He just totally went up there and just did not try to do too much, and his hands were so active and the swing was so easy and the ball went far. So that's the difference for me, I think, is that he's got more hand involvement, less body. And in a perverse way, maybe the back issue helped him a bit. But right now he is looking good, and the ball has a chance to go really far.
You mentioned how Bryant looks in batting practice and some of the reports you're getting from others who are observing him. How does Wilson Contreras look in BP? Is there anything in his preparation that that suggests the struggles?
Well, he also has been looking better lately. He had to hit that ball in Chicago versus the White Sox the other day. Really hit a nice line drive to center field. Again, with him, for me, it's also a matter of what he's swinging at, too. As much as anything, like him and David, you know, you could go up and down the guys that are struggling with us. It's just really chasing pitches and missing the one that they like. So Wilson was getting a little long with the swing. The guys have shortened him up again. He looks better, more direct to the ball. But again, he just needs to get the pitches in the area that he needs, that he can hit the ball hard with. He has been chasing a bit. Like I said, David has been chasing, primarily, I think, KB, has got to stay in his zone also, up and down. I mean, that's pretty much been the problem with guys that have been struggling, is just, staying in command of their strike zones and when they see the pitch that they like, to not foul it off or take it.
Quick hitting philosophy question as you're talking about Schwarber. And I've wondered about this, about what you believe. There are some hitters or hitting coaches who will say you can develop power on your load as the hands come back, the foot comes forward, and vice versa, the sort of negative pulley between the front foot and the hands. Others will say there needs to be actual negative body movement. The Ripken School calls it go back to go forward. You know, the coiling of the striking snake, the drawing your fist back to throw a punch. Yet then you can get head movement in that can disrupt seeing the ball. How do you balance those two things, getting the load and the front foot and also a little bit of that reverse movement?
Well, I mean, if you could, I was actually talking about this yesterday as a hitting coach. I'd get behind a chain link fence and put the guy's body and then his head within that little diamond, mm-hmm, that creates a fence.
Yeah.
And you just keep the guy in that diamond. And you really want him to stay within that the entire time. So I've always believed absolutely that you want to get like a little polar draw on the bow and arrow. I always try to compare it to a bow and arrow. You're pulling the string back or the bow back, and you're going to get loaded, whatever. But when you're coming forward, you don't want to get beyond that center point where you began. You can just a little bit, but you don't want that head creeping up so far that you're going inside or behind that diamond and then in front of it. When you get all that body movement and head movement, man, you cannot catch up to velocity. You're speeding up the pitcher having to make decisions sooner. So by staying back or behind that center point of your body and your head there, then you give yourself more time. You can catch up to velocity and make better decisions. And it comes down to staying behind the ball with your body or staying behind the ball with your top hand and your head, whatever you want to describe it, but it's staying behind the baseball. And you don't want to get over top or drift too far forward, because then you create more velocity. You do not read the ball out of the hand, and you have a tendency to chase more pitches.
Joe, as we were talking with about Wilson Contreras a couple of seconds ago, it popped into my head. You're a catcher. I wonder if over the last handful of years, as you've managed, that the way, or if you do, you're sitting there in spring training and you've got a catcher that got this bat and this offensive production that you're kind of counting on as a team. How much do you bake in for the rest of the season the fact that he's catching and that's a physically demanding thing, and you know that he might not be in September what he is in July, just health-wise? And has that changed at all over the last 10, 15 years with the way players train in the offseason, are able to keep themselves in shape during the season?
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, I'm definitely aware of all of that. And you could see fatigue with guys, I think. And a lot of times it will manifest itself with the bat as much as anything, not only just from a catcher, from anybody else. With Wilson, I've been very cognizant of all of that. I think he's played in about 130 games this year, and that's not all that he started. So I think the number of games that he's catching based on where he's at physically and his youth, I think that's a decent number for him. So anything right now, and that's, if you remember a couple years ago when we were breaking him in, I did not want to push him early to save him from the latter part of the year in the playoffs, and it worked out pretty well. I think it's almost like a starting pitcher. He's been stretched out. And I think the number that he's been involved with is a very manageable number for him and his body and his strength level, et cetera. I'm cognizant, talk to him all the time. That's why I try not to start him more than three games consecutively and give Victor an opportunity. Keeps Victor sharp, and it keeps from beating up on Wilson. So I think he might have caught four in a row a couple times this year, but for the most part, I've been working off at three, and we've had great backups. I think he's fine. I do think he's fine. I just think, like I said, offensively speaking, to get in his own zone, and really, if he could do that, and because, man, this guy drives left center as good as anybody I've seen in the, you know, over the last couple of years. We just got to get him back there. But he's got to be a little bit more patient and selective at the plate.
Joe, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
You guys be well. Thank you.
That is Joe Maddon. He's brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena.
Well, Joe, it's Joe's opinion that there's not much he can change about the situation with Addison Russell, that he has his responsibilities mapped out. The league has mapped out the responsibilities as it pertains to the investigation, and you go forward. I understand that. Thought that there might be another, I don't know, some second thought over the weekend, I guess. There has been. That's how he's managed.
Yeah, I know that if it were my player, I simply don't think there's any, for me, there wouldn't be any downside into reading what has been written and reading what is said. But like, I think you phrased the question nicely about when one uses the phrase, anybody can write anything, that is tantamount to accusing somebody of lying. It gets close to it.
We said that when Anthony Rizzo said what he'd said prior to Theo Epstein in that press conference, and it shook me wrong then, and it shakes me wrong a little bit now. And I can understand from his point of view, from Joe's or Anthony's, that there really is nothing he can do about this situation. It's, we sit here and talk about the story, so it's a different perspective for us than it is for them. And I can also understand that if indeed you're a longtime friend of Addison Russell, somebody who's known him for quite some time in whatever context, and Joe and Theo both mentioned the other day that they know him in a baseball context, that it's probably difficult to read and or hear what was alleged to have happened between him and his ex-wife if you know him the way you know him. That's probably very difficult to square in your brain.
And but Theo did say the first thing that he did was read it.
Yeah, he did. Right.
The segment brought to you by Account Temps. Finding highly skilled accounting and finance professionals can be a challenge. Account Temps can help. With Account Temps' extensive network of accounting and finance contractors, you can be sure to find the right person for your exact hiring needs. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. Account Temps, a Robert Half company. Get your thoughts on what Joe had to say. 312-644-6767. We are Bernstein and McKnight. We are on from 9 to 1. That's middays on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. It has been a pretty miserable baseball season in Detroit. The Tigers, who won only 64 games a year ago, have won 63 to date with 6 games remaining. But on a gloomy Saturday, there was a moment of sunshine at Comerica Park. Victor Martinez had decided to make Saturday the last day of his long major league career. Manager Ron Gardenhier started him at first base, the first time he played the field this season, and Martinez beat out an infield hit in the bottom of the first. That was the 2,153rd hit of his career, and Gardenhier, as planned, sent in a pinch runner for him. The entire crowd stood and cheered. The Tigers joined in. So did the Kansas City Royals. There were hugs from both teams. The umpires clapped too. It was a sweet moment for a man who hit 295 over 16 full seasons and decided at 39 it was time to go home. In all, a fitting farewell. I'm John Feinstein.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
Hey, Chicago. It's Boomer Esiason, former veteran pro football quarterback. And as someone who appreciates quality and design, I recommend AZAC. AZAC is number one in premium decking. When my builder recommended AZAC because of its style and durability, I said, let's give it a try. Now, I absolutely love it. I don't just request to use AZAC for my home. I demand it. And you should, too. Check out AZAC at AZAC.com. You won't be sorry. Long-lasting, high-performance, stylish products. AZAC will not only meet your needs, it will exceed them. That's AZEK.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. When it comes to business lending, we're all about finding solutions. I'm here with Brian Vanderwall of Vanderwall & Associates. We help Brian secure long-term SBA financing for both real estate and operating capital.
The Byline Small Business Capital team was able to provide me the opportunity to be more creative and branch out into more markets because I had the proper financing mechanism. Instead of looking at our assets as a service business, the Byline Small Business Capital team looked at our cash flow, looked at our projections, and really saw the need to grow. I think the decision-making process was quite amazing how fast it happened. They asked for all the right information of a small business, analyzed it quickly, had the leadership to make quick decisions. Decisions, and that's not typical for a lender.
Byline Bank. We make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
I lived in Grays Lake, and I have sold and moved out of the state.
Billy V is a union employee. He left Illinois because he couldn't afford to pay $9,000 a year in property taxes on his $200,000 townhome in Grays Lake. Tony S.'s home in Park Ridge is being liquidated by the government to pay for someone else's pension.
I'm paying between $13,000 and $14,000 a year in property taxes, which is insane. I can't save for my retirement. They're basically stealing my equity from me.
Rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, you will not be spared the financial disaster the highest property taxes in the nation inflict. The good news is there's a group of independent candidates who aren't financed by Madigan or Rauner. They're working people, taking up our fight to lower your property taxes. They made a life in Illinois, and the hell if they're going to let politicians take it away. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org for information on the candidates leading the revolt. Go to SaveYourHomeNow.org to hear your neighbor's stories and share your own. SaveYourHomeNow.org isn't just a website. It's a battle cry.
Liberty Principles paid for this ad and is solely responsible for its content, not authorized by any candidate or candidate committee.
Save big during the kickoff to savings at Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights. All new Chevys have been priced for immediate sale. Like this 2018 Chevy Cruze, over $6,000 off MSRP. Or a new Malibu, over $8,900 off MSRP. That's a big score. At prices this low, these Chevys won't last long. So hurry in today for the best selection. Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights.
The bright way to buy.
In lieu of financing, rebates and incentives available to qualified. See dealer for details. Find new roads.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher mortgage payments. At Quicken Loans, we've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates so you can buy a home with certainty. It's called Rate Shield, and here's how it works. With Rate Shield, you can lock your interest rate while you shop for a new home. So if rates go up, you don't have to worry. And here's the best part. If rates go down, you get the lower rate. With Rate Shield, we really have you covered. Here are more reasons why you'll want to work with America's largest mortgage lender. For 8 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the 5th year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Rate Shield, another way we can save you money on your mortgage. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Based on Rocket Mortgage data in comparison to public data records, Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Save money on your car insurance by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Hey, is it always this cold in here? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me a bit. I just kind of curious because if it's the equipment or something, that's fine. It's just, woo, it's kind of chilly.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Tonight,
stop!
SVU begins its landmark 20th season on its new night, Thursdays, with a case.
Protect your son.
That will leave you stunned. The SVU two-hour premiere event tonight on NBC.
Weather Fact Check. Whose forecasts are the only scientifically proven most accurate in Chicago? The NBC5 Storm Team. Says who? Says Weather Rate. Trust the NBC5 Storm Team. Chicago's one and only most accurate weather.
Hey, Chicago. This is Boomer Esiason, former pro football quarterback. I insist on AZAC trim for my home. AZAC is the best high-performance trim on the market. With AZAC trim, there's no chipping and no cracking. AZAC is moisture and insect resistant, incredibly durable, and handles paint, too. In fact, AZAC is backed by a lifetime limited warranty. And did you know that you could use AZAC trim as a ceiling or wainscoting inside your home? An awesome look. Check out AZAC.com. Long-lasting, low-maintenance, inspired design. That's AZEK.
Are you in good hands?
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com,
Chicago Sports Station.
Anybody can write anything they want these days with social media, blogging, etc. So I'm just going to wait for it to play its course, and then I'll try to disseminate the information based on both sides, MLB itself, along with the Players Union, getting together with Addison and his former wife, and then I'll read the information to try to make my opinions or for my own opinions at that point.
Jeez Louise, that was rough.
Sometimes what people want to write is their story, so they can tell people what happened to them.
Look, I guess it's Joe's right to wait for whatever he wants to wait for.
Yeah, he's the manager of the team.
Yeah.
He's right that he can't do anything about it, but I was just talking with Danny Parkins with it during the break, and I think he had a good point. He said, he can say, of course I read it. I'm not going to comment on it right now.
That's a possibility.
Right? It would be so easy to say, of course I read it.
You've got the option to, you know, regardless of whether you've read it or not, I guess, you have, or before you've read it, before this whole thing came up, you have a chance to advocate for somebody here. I mean, hell, even if you wanted to advocate for Addison Russell, if that's something that you feel the need to do, and I'm not saying that anybody has, you've got a chance to do that here. And you've got a guy who's advocated for a lot of people who need voices, you know? I mean, that's what Joe's done. It's been his personal project in his own hometown to advocate for people who don't have, you know, voices. And it's an admirable thing. It's strange to me. And he's got his reasons. He told you his reasons. He told us his reasons. There's an opportunity there. And he's choosing not to take it. And that's his right. That's his option. It seemed to me incongruous.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. On the south side, Tony is on the score. Hello, Tony.
Hey, fella. How's it going? What's going on?
Good.
All right. I really don't have a thought on Joe's perspective. I'm going to go to the other team and the other GM. I'm going to stay away from that topic.
Hey, go ahead.
All right. So my thing was Ryan Pace, him going against his own theology, because he initially came in and, you know, he told us that he was going to draft a quarterback every year, and he didn't do that. So,
well, he didn't exactly say that. He said, keep adding quarterbacks because you're always looking for the guy when you that is in the process of trying to find the quarterback. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to churn quarterbacks for the sake of churning quarterbacks.
Right. No, I mean, I understand that. But, you know, I guess in the perspective of the way he sold it, that he would have drafted more than just Mitch Trubisky moving up in the second round out of all his drafts. But my question is...
Wait, you would expect him to go all in, trade up for Mitch Trubisky, and then draft another quarterback prospect?
No. I'm saying prior to this draft.
You're saying in years prior, like to see something in the fifth or something in the sixth or something like that?
Something, yeah. Something where, you know, we could develop or have something else in the pipeline, at least for his own theology, that, you know, would say that he wasn't painting himself in a corner with Mitch Trubisky. So... You know, I was just looking at it from a perspective. Did he?
You can't develop multiple quarterbacks. At some point, you got to pick your guy.
But
that's what he said. So I'm not saying that's what I would do. But right. You know, from his perspective, he would have drafted more than only Mitch Trubisky.
Tony, I get it. I appreciated the philosophy when Ryan Pace brought it out there. I like the idea of drafting a quarterback every draft or every other draft or whatever, just to have the inventory there. And I don't know that it is impossible to develop two quarterbacks, but it's really damn hard. And what that means is you have to have hit on the guy that you drafted in the fourth round, Kirk Cousins, when the guy that you drafted in the first round and traded up for, Robert Griffin III, also gets hurt and has to go away for a while, and then you have to go to Cousins, and you have to have gotten that right, and that circumstance doesn't happen all that often. And I think, if I remember right, I was doing a show with Hub a number of years back, and we were talking about drafting quarterbacks late and whatnot, and Hub brought it up, and it stuck with me ever since, because if you draft, you know, I was doing, making this stupid point about draft Ryan Mallett, and then you get to trade him for something because he's sitting behind
Ryan
Brady.
Mallett, yeah, or Jacoby Brissett.
Or draft right? Jimmy Garoppolo, because then you get to trade him for something at some point. It's really hard to have gotten that guy later on in drafts somewhere, because chances are, if you're hot after him as maybe a backup to Tom Brady or whatever, that there are other teams that are going to take those quarterbacks, and you can't if you've got Tom Brady, if you've got the quarterback solution, and you're trying to build pieces around him, trying to go win a Super Bowl. It's got to be really tough as a general manager. And this is what, you know, Hub was like, hey, this is really tough. I'm like, oh yeah, good point, Hub. It's got to be really tough to sink draft capital into that position when you've got that position and you're trying to win at the same time.
On the south side, it is Mike. He's on the score. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon. You know, I'm going to side with Joe Madden and his response to you guys regarding.
You don't have to side with either. We can just discuss it as it is. It's not really.
I think the term that kind of used was that it's incongruous with some of the other stances that he's taken. And I'll say this. This is a one-on-one situation between Addison Russell and his wife. The situations that Joe has gotten himself involved in have had a broader appeal from, you know, from a racial and economic standpoint. It's not individual to any one relationship.
I don't know if that's true,
yeah,
Mike.
I don't agree.
Mike, let me just put it to you this way. Again, it is Joe's right to treat this situation the way he's treating it. He's the manager of the ball club. He's got a job to do, and he doesn't have to get into this if he doesn't want to get into this. That said, my issue with the language that he and Anthony Rizzo and others have used about this blog post just being a blog post is that that kind of language might dissuade someone who's a victim from coming out and writing what she or he needs to write. And if you've got the chance to say just once that, yeah, we believe somebody, then, and this isn't, again, Mike, this isn't my opinion about how these pieces come out, how these, I'm talking about psychologists. I'm talking about the way doctors approach domestic violence victims. I'm talking about the way that a lot of times
it's law enforcement, social workers. They all say the culture of pushback, the culture of immediate doubt of these stories keeps people from telling their stories.
Understood. But he has, and it's not that he's, I don't think that he doubts it. I don't think that's the case. I think that he's just trying to let the investigative process take this due course and then render an opinion. I'm almost positive that Joe Madden definitely wants, you know, Addison Russell's wife to have a voice. But now you're asking him to comment on her voice.
No, we didn't. We just asked if he
read.
No,
did he read?
Yes, did he read it?
Exactly.
Asking him to comment.
Right.
That's asking if he read it.
So you're telling me that a follow-up comment is not going to come behind that about, well, what did you think about what you read?
There could be any number of follow-up questions
that's
there.
If you said, hey, did he, hold on a second, Dan.
They're completely fair questions.
Did you read it?
Yes.
And he says yes.
Yes.
Then and are you guys willing to leave it at that?
No, there'd be any number
you'd
of questions.
You'd ask the follow-up question. Follow-up question. You say, yes, I read
gun.
It.
It's not a loaded gun. Theo Epstein had no problem answering questions about it.
Theo Epstein is not in the locker room with Addison Russell.
Neither Addison Russell isn't in the locker room either.
Not right now.
Correct.
And
that doesn't matter. This is bigger than that.
And once again, I understand what you guys are trying to do as journalists, and I respect. I have no problem with it. But at the same time, I respect Joe Madden and why he answered the way he did. I don't like the fact, and here's the other thing, and I want to be clear here. I do not respect the fact that he should have framed, I think he was good framing it the way he was framing it. He should have never stepped into trying to categorize whether it was legitimate or not. That's where you tripped him up.
I'm just trying.
Well,
it's not a gotcha game. There's no trying
this
to trip
real
anybody
life.
Up.
That's where he didn't respond appropriately. Whether that was your intention or not.
Yeah, look, he's a baseball manager. Nothing that he's going to do or say has any bearing on what actually happened. It was just, we're following up because it was very curious Friday, sort of how flippantly he said, I haven't read it. No, why? Should I? And there were some people, I'm one of the people included, really taken aback by that, especially considering the larger and important push to better understanding the perniciousness of domestic violence and what victims go through and how this established protective culture keeps people unsafe and keeps people imperiled. That's why I felt it important.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate the call and the concerns.
It's an issue that is top of mind in this country right now, or at least it ought to be for a lot of people. And we might not be the best to discuss the ramifications of how domestic violence is talked about, whether it's pejoratively or not, in terms of how it's written, where it comes out, what lawyers are saying, what or not involved in the processes. But we're the guys with the mics, and I feel it's some sort of responsibility of ours to put forward what experts believe about this subject. And that's where I come from here. I mean, I've talked with a number of psychologists who have been involved in situations like this, both on the other side, one side and the other. And it's just so often where a doctor, a psychologist will look at a victim and say that this isn't worth bringing law enforcement in. This isn't worth participating in an investigation about, because all that means is that you have to go relive this. All that means is that you have to go through the exact same, well, very similar trauma that you've gone through before. All that means is that you have to relive this, and now you get to be asked questions about it. Now the veracity of your story gets to be doubted over and over again. Now you get to be asked whether you brought on the fact that someone hurt you.
What are you gaining from this? Who's benefiting from this? Who's putting words in your mouth?
There's not much to gain in a situation like this. There's not much to gain to write what was written here, except for the fact that if she feels any better about if a victim feels any better about themselves having written it, that's it.
And not to mention, no matter how you do
there's
it.
There's nothing else to gain here.
No matter how you do it, someone will say, wrong manner, wrong place, wrong time. There's never a wrong time. There's never a wrong way. There's never a wrong venue for someone who's been victimized to tell people what happened to them on their terms. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show, WSCR, The Score.
Cubs fans, October looms large. The stage is set for an epic pennant race with the Cubs and Brewers neck and neck. Listen to all the drama unfold right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Chicago Cubs. Brought to you by Old Dominion Freight Line, the official freight carrier of Major League Baseball and the Cubs.
You tired of seeing your credit card balances increase month after month after month? You're not alone. According to a recent CNBC report, consumer debt is scheduled to reach $4 trillion. You heard that right. $4 trillion by the end of 2018. Summer vacations, day camp, sports camp, overnight camp, trips to see grandma, back to school supplies sound expensively familiar. The bad news is there isn't a money fairy. It's going to make your credit card debt disappear. The good news, home values have substantially increased, and Team Huckberg can help you consolidate your credit card debt with a cash-out refinance to substantially lower your monthly payments. Also, this isn't the first or 100th or 1,000th time you've heard a Team Huckberg advertisement encouraging you to refinance. What are you waiting for? Stop procrastinating. Pick up the phone and call Team Huckberg now. 312-751-1333. Team Huckberg has helped thousands of Score listeners. They can't help if you don't call. 312-751-1333 or visit pearldavid.com. Pearl Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee 43358, NMLS 191.86.
That Bears t-shirt isn't just a t-shirt. It's a badge of honor that shows the world who you stand with on game day. And you can get it for 20% less when you have a Chicago Bears PNC Visa debit card.
Visit PNC.com/Chicago Bears card for details. An annual fee of $10 will be assessed to the primary checking account associated with the card. Visa is a registered trademark of Visa International Service Association and used under license. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
Illinois CyberKnife deploys revolutionary technology in the fight against prostate cancer in just 5 outpatient treatments. With CyberKnife treatment for prostate cancer, there's no pain, no surgery, and you can go back to your normal activities right after treatment. Prostate cancer doesn't fight fair. Neither should you. For more information, contact Illinois CyberKnife at 847-723-0100 or visit IllinoisCK.com, a service of Advocate Lutheran General Hospital. No case is typical. Results will vary by patient, and there's no guarantee you'll experience these results.
Hey, Chicago. It's Boomer Esiason, former veteran pro football quarterback. And as someone who appreciates quality and design, I recommend AZAC. AZAC is number one in premium decking. When my builder recommended AZAC because of its style and durability, I said, let's give it a try. Now, I absolutely love it. I don't just request to use AZAC for my home. I demand it. And you should, too. Check out AZAC at AZAC.com. You won't be sorry. Long-lasting, high-performance, stylish products. AZAC will not only meet your needs, it will exceed them. That's AZEK.com.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
In Chicagoland, there's only one place to go for one of the largest selections of approved, certified, pre-owned Land Rover models. Land Rover Chicago, a Howard Orloff dealership.
Land Rover Chicago has been proudly serving Chicagoland for over 55 years with an outstanding selection and exceptional service. Right now at Land Rover Chicago, you can drive a 2017 certified pre-owned Land Rover Discovery Sport HSE for only $39,988. And 0.9% APR financing is available. And approved certified pre-owned Land Rover models include a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, a 165-point inspection, and 24/7 roadside assistance. Isn't it time you discover the outstanding selection and offers at Land Rover Chicago, a Howard Orloff dealership? Don't miss out. Visit Land Rover Chicago just off the Kennedy at Armitage or online at LandRoverChicago.com.
Stock number L03646 plus tax, title, license, and dock fee. Coverage begins on the vehicle's original date of retail sale or in-use date. See your local Land Rover retailer for details. Financing with approved credit. Offer expires 9/30/18.
Any department who places billing above care will be terminated. Let's be doctors again.
They're not going to let you just help people.
So let's help as many as we can before they figure us out.
New Amsterdam premieres tonight after This Is Us on NBC.
Tomorrow at 10 on NBC5 News, it's the stars up close. NBC5 takes you inside the exclusive One Chicago viewing party from the bar that's at the heart of so many episodes. Join us in Bucktown for the One Chicago kickoff event tomorrow at 10 on NBC5 News.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Trey Burton with us, McNeil and Parkin.
I really want to be known for off-the-field stuff, trying to, you know, end this gun violence. You know, there's multiple things that, you know, we can look at here in Chicago, and that's another reason why I signed here.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Now.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Have you watched the video of this Wrigley fight everybody's talking about?
I saw it this morning on the train ride in. I wasn't quite sure what I was clicking on, just, you know, because not everything was loading, so I clicked it and it played, so I didn't have volume when I watched it, because, you know, train, but I saw it. There's no fighting in the bleachers, apparently. That was the headline I read.
There isn't?
Yeah, but apparently there's fighting in the bleachers.
Fighting in the bleachers, and apparently one guy was like a total racist D-bag, and I don't know.
Don't all baseball fights kind of stem from just a whole lot of booze and then some guy being a jerk?
And stupidity, yes.
Almost always, right?
Yes. Almost every single time. And
sports fights.
Yeah. Young, stupid people and alcohol and sports. And the fact
doesn't have to be young.
Yeah, that's true.
Does not have to be young.
The bleachers used to skew young. Bleacher stuff used to, at least during the full blown ass clown days. But then the prices went up, and
when were, Dan, pray tell, the full blown ass clown days?
Late 90s to mid 2000s.
I remember my first trip to the bleachers. I guess that would have been 03. I never had bleacher seats till that 03.
Yeah,
it was, oh God, who was it? The dude who, Sean
Marshall?
No. I'm spacing out on it. He pitched Sean a great, Lowe. He hadn't pitched in like 3 or 4 weeks. He came out and pitched a terrific game, like with 7 innings and gave up the 2 hits. I remember everything except the dude's name. That's always fun. I feel like less.
I was there.
I
just can't remember the guy's name. Come on. Are you seriously doing a Google search here, Fred Sesser?
It's blowing my mind, Fred.
Cody Parker.
No, it wasn't Cody Parker. Sean Estes. Sean Estes.
Estes, okay.
I went to a Sean Estes start.
All of that was for Sean Estes?
I know. I feel oddly empty inside.
I tried. On the anniversary of that game, I was trying to write an oral history of that game because of what it meant to the playoff race, and I was trying to track down Sean Estes. I sent a message to Mark Gonzalez because I knew he knew Sean from like out west, and I just could not get in touch with Sean. It was the windmill I was tilting at the time.
I'm sure he could. He was probably coaching high school baseball somewhere.
He was doing, at the time, he was doing some analyst work on the local San Francisco cable Sportsnet is for Giants games and whatnot, but I don't think he's doing it anymore.
Okay.
It's my white whale.
An oral history of the Sean Estes return
game?
They
needed that game.
Cool.
He had thrown, Baker had thrown everybody, like Pryor and Wood, like 4 times in a row or something. The circumstance leading up to that game was he was desperate for a starter. And here's Sean Estes, who hasn't pitched in 3 weeks. He waltzes out there, goes through a terrific outing. Cubs win a game. They're one game closer to clinching. I think they clinch the next day or the day after.
It's funny. I would never have remembered this, but I covered a similar situation, a game on the south side that was pitched by Cal Eldred.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because Cal Eldred similarly had some sort of injury. And he was
Hold on. Nobody has ever had that reaction to hearing Cal Eldred.
I was just reading something that Eldred.
He was hurt. He was on the shelf for a while. And he said, I think I'm feeling better. And he had a rehab start. And he came back. And it was like five innings of one hit ball or something like that. And then his arm fell off. And I don't think he ever pitched another game. It was something like that. Like, yeah, look at Cal Eldred. And then he grabs his arm and the trainer comes out and walks off with him and you never saw him again.
Sean Estes walked into a game against the Reds in 0-3 with a 6 ERA and threw a complete game shutout. That's the game I'm talking about. That's the game I was at. I've tried to write the oral history on it and it just hadn't quite worked out.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I'm learning. I don't know if I want to read it.
I'm going to sell you on it. I'm still working on the pitch meeting. This isn't a fully baked thing.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
This top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Tickets for the Chicago Wolves 25th anniversary season are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Be there for the home opener as the Wolves defend their back-to-back Central Division championships on October 13th at Allstate Arena. Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins are set to go to carry you into the afternoon sports day. It's a big day for the Cubs as they cling to their shrinking lead. They're coming up next on The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
Put it on the poll. Khalil Mack or R. Mack?
That's just not fair. That's not a fair fight.
Yeah, no. Defensive player of the year through three games, right?
Yeah, that's why they're 2-1 and leading the division. The defense is Super Bowl quality.
Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's...
Hey, Chicago. This is Boomer Esiason, former pro football quarterback. I insist on AZAC trim for my home. AZAC is the best high-performance trim on the market. With AZAC trim, there's no chipping and no cracking. AZAC is moisture and insect resistant, incredibly durable, and handles paint, too. In fact, AZAC is backed by a lifetime limited warranty. And did you know that you could use AZAC trim as a ceiling or wainscoting inside your home? An awesome look. Check out AZAC.com. Long-lasting, low-maintenance, inspired design. That's AZEK.
Any department who places billing above care will be terminated. Let's be doctors again.
They're not going to let you just help people.
So let's help as many as we can before they figure us out.
New Amsterdam premieres tonight after This Is Us on NBC.
Tomorrow at 10 on NBC5 News, it's The Stars Up Close. NBC5 takes you inside the exclusive One Chicago viewing party from the bar that's at the heart of so many episodes. Join us in Bucktown for the One Chicago kickoff event tomorrow at 10 on NBC5 News.
Hey, Cubs fans, your son or daughter could be the kid of the game at the Cubs home game on September 16th. Enter to win at Chicago's pastime page on Facebook. Prize package includes the opportunity to say play ball over the PA before the game, kid of the game t-shirt, and four tickets to the game. The contest is sponsored by MLB brand Chicago Cubs Edition Frozen Foods, by Chicago Cubs Edition Waffles and Appetizers at Angelo Caputo's, Hy-Vee, Pete's Market, and Tony's Fine Foods. Enter the contest on Chicago's pastime Facebook page to win an experience your child will never forget.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tonight,
stop!
SVU begins its landmark 20th season on its new night, Thursdays, with a case...
Protect your son.
...that will leave you stunned. The SVU two-hour premiere event tonight on NBC.
Weather Fact Check. Whose forecasts are the only scientifically proven most accurate in Chicago? The NBC5 Storm Team. Says who? Says Weather Rate. Trust the NBC5 Storm Team, Chicago's one and only most accurate weather.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Lovie Smith, the head coach of the Fighting Illini. I kept thinking a lot about Charles Tillman and his argument to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Lawrence, I think when you looking at whether a person goes into the Hall of Fame or not, you have to look at what have they brought to our game. Have they brought something unique, a unique talent to the game? And have they done it as well as anyone that's played the game? Think about taking the ball away. Who are some of the all-time greats that take the ball away? Almost to a man, Charles Tillman's name is going to come up in the conversation. No one bought into taking it away the way he did. And every time when he was around the ball, that was his mindset.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Tom Thayer's football resume is better than anyone you've ever met. Khalil Mack, you know, that was Lawrence Taylor. That was absolutely unbelievable. You don't see that sort of thing.
I agree. You know, and that's one of the reasons they went out and got Khalil Mack and had the opportunity. But now, I think when he has an opportunity to evaluate himself, to get a real understanding this morning and tomorrow where he's at physically, how much more work he needs to be in realistic, you know, 65-play-a-game football shape. And all those